Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. We're so glad that you tuned in today because we wish to introduce a new subject which we are going to entitle The Goodness of God. And this is going to be in the form of 6 broadcasts in the series. And the goodness of God is mentioned in those exact wording in the 4th verse of the 2nd chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. We read in that wonderful verse, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" And we are just lifting those 4 words, the goodness of God, right out of Romans 2 and 4, and we're using that as the title for our new series of studies. Now, the goodness of God is recalled to us, as inferred in the verse, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance." Now, they couldn't despise them unless they were past. God shows his mercy in so many different ways, and he shows it to us that he might encourage us. Now, we're going to introduce each study in today's study 2 with the word remembrance, because our testimony is what has already happened, how we have proven God. I think people are encouraged when people are led to see that you can prove God. He wants you to test him. He wants you to try him and try by faith to just approach him, and he will reward faith every time. He'll reward faith. Now, the 6 titles of the studies that we're going to undertake are remembrance of our former state, remembrance of the Word of God, remembrance of the examples of godly men, remembrance of the times of our own fellowship with the Lord, remembrances of formal deliverances of the Lord, and then lastly, remembrance of the Lord in the supper that he gave us. We are asked in the Scriptures to remember. And there's a good reason, and the reason is found in Romans 2 and 4. "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering?" This is past tense. These are things that have happened, and God says, don't despise them. You know, I think that in this series of studies that we will just see how we can appropriate the goodness of God for our own good. There'll be ministry in it for the non-Christian. He will do well to listen, to see what God will do in faith for those who will believe him. I think of the song that is sung, the words of the poet, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. And when the dear unsaved see what God has done for the Christian," and he testifies to that fact, and he's got proof, he's got history on his side when he testifies of the fact that God is good. And so we will begin, and we are going to divide our subject today into 3 studies: the estate of the individual, Israel's estate, and then the estate of the church and their past. And God, and that Paul brings this before us in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's talk about David's experience of the times past and the way God delivered him. We read in Psalms 63 and verses 6 and 7, an outburst of praise from David. He says, "I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." David is writing this psalm. The title of the psalm is "In the Wilderness," David's experience in the wilderness. Now, that's not a verbatim quote of the title, but that's the God-given title. That's just not a man's title. It is when he was in the wilderness. He was fleeing from Saul. His life was in danger. The prophet Samuel had anointed David to be king as a lad. Saul found this out, and he sought to kill David. Kings cannot stand rivals. And he was pursued, and he was a man that was persecuted terribly. And he says, I remember thee on my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. He couldn't sleep for thinking of the deliverances. And, oh, some of those deliverances were miraculous that God gave to David from the hands of Saul. And so we have Saul, David saying, because thou hast been my help. Now, that's past tense. Thou hast been my help. And he remembered it. I remember thee upon my bed. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And that speaks of the protection of the Lord. And that was his witness. And certainly we can be encouraged in David and his appropriation of God's goodness. Now, Paul's experience is found in the 1 Timothy epistle, the epistle of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 and 17. Listen to what Paul says. These things were recalled to his mind, how God had dealt with him in time past when he wrote this passage of Scripture. We read in verse 12, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, past tense, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then he goes on to say, Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. That's in our theme verse, long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. The unsaved could say, God save Paul, he can save me. Now, it was true of Israel. Abraham was called out of Syria by the Lord and sent into the land of Palestine there to start a new nation. God was going to start all over. Now, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verses 4 and 5. These are the words of Moses. After the children of Israel had been 40 years through the wilderness and were just getting ready to enter the new land, promised land. And here we read that when they were to bring their presents to the Lord, their gifts to the Lord, they were to repeat this. And here it is. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, his gift. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. Abraham dwelt among idol worshippers, false gods, but God called him and separated him. Now Israel has a right to remember, and they were told to remember, to say this when they brought their gifts. Now let's go, if you will, please, to the church. Second chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul there speaks to the Ephesian Christians and tells them to do some remembering. And this is the portion that I'm going to read, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Listen, if you will, please. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, oh, thank God for this pivotal conjunction, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were, or sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here we see our theme verse repeated. And I'm going to read the same verse again. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Thank God all the distance that the church at Ephesus felt because of their position before God saved them. all of that distance was erased away, wiped away by this wonderful, wonderful statement of Paul, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, notice please, he starts out by saying, wherefore remember that ye being in times past. This makes us appreciate the grace of God to remember how long he bore with us as individuals. I could go on at length of how I tested the patience of God before he saved me, but he kept at it. Thank God I can prove the wonder of this verse. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God, how wonderful it is. Seven things were true of those Ephesians. They were idolaters. They were pagans of the worst sort. They were Gentiles, the Goyim. No claim upon God. They were uncircumcised. They were without Christ. They were alienated from the people of God, aliens from the people of God. They had no covenant relationship with God. They had no hope. They were without God in any sense. They were just simply lost, and there was no hope for them. But God, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How wonderful that these Ephesians, pagans as they were, had been saved through the forbearance and long-suffering of God, and he was good and kind to them in having Paul and the others come there with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we realize how long God has borne with us. How many people can witness in their own language how long it was before God saved them. He bore with them in their patience. I think of John Bunyan in The Pilgrim's Progress. It was in that wonderful allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan mentions of the fact that he struggled so long to be saved by keeping the law and the law, the terrible Mount Sinai just scared the daylights out of him, excuse the language, and he finally came to the cross, and when he saw that Christ was on that cross for him, he lifted up his eyes, and that terrible burden that had been bound to his back by the word of God, it fell off and vanished. He fell down the hill and tumbled into the empty tomb. His sins were gone. Oh, each of us can remember, and this will strike a responding chord in the minds and the hearts of some of you today, that God was patient with you. Our Father, we thank you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will bless this series, that we might see how good you are to people, that they might be yours. In his name we pray, giving thanks. Amen.